Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Recently, I was asked to come give the opening prayer in front of the Minnesota Senate. Now, if you've been watching our show in recent weeks, Minnesota is not liberal anymore. We're radical. And in recent times, they have passed unrestricted abortion in Minnesota, being a safe state to get your child a sex change operation on a child and hormone blockers for children, recreational marijuana, and then they banned youth who want help with unwanted same-sex attraction. Can't do that in Minnesota. So it's been radical. In the midst of all this, they asked me to come pray for the state Senate. And I said to the man who called me, well, okay, I will. I always pray in Jesus' name. So if you don't want that, you don't want me. And he said, well, that's not very inclusive, but I can't forbid it. So recently I drove over to the state capitol, a little nervous. I walk into the big building and this big security guard comes over. Pastor Brock throws his arms around me. He loves our TV show. That helped. I get into the Senate chamber to say my prayer and I prayed in the name of Jesus the Savior. A very liberal woman senator came right to me with her friend. We were offended by that prayer. We're Jewish, and you shouldn't have prayed in Jesus' name, and we were excluded by your prayer. And I said, when I accepted the invitation, I said, that's how I pray. Well, you shouldn't have come, and she kind of stormed off. Now, would she have been offended if her Jewish rabbi prayed to the God of Abraham, or if a Muslim prayed to Allah? No. But she doesn't like the name of Jesus. And it reminded me of what C.S. Lewis said. Do you want to know how to wreck a fancy dinner party? Wait until there's a lull in the conversation, bring up the name Jesus, and watch people get nervous, stare down into their water glasses, and change the subject. Well, here's my point. We are in a culture war now, more than ever in my lifetime. Some states are restricting abortion, banning sex change operations for children. Other states, Minnesota, California, Oregon, Washington, New York State, and Colorado, love abortion rights and love transgenderism. So there's a war going on. I want to do two things for the program today. Number one, let's do a culture wars update about what's happening in our culture. But number two, we're going to spend most of the time doing a heresy update of how the culture has infected the church. Let's pray. Father, we pray for America, all of the state and national bodies that are giving laws, that somehow you would turn America back to you, Lord. And God, speak to us now about what each of one of us should do to be involved. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Culture wars. First item. I recently discovered that my Walmart pharmacy near my house is dispensing the abortion pill. I talked to the store manager. I talked to the pharmacist and said, I don't want to do business here if you're doing that. Then I discovered Walgreens and CVS nationally, in all the states where it's legal, are doing the same thing. So now maybe your local pharmacy is a mini abortion clinic. Now, I want to encourage you, pray about it. Have a talk with your pharmacist. Next culture wars item. The Minneapolis Public Schools recently put on a drag queen story time for children while their parents were in another room getting a lecture from the Children's Minnesota Hospital about how they can give hormone blockers to your children to prevent them from developing naturally. This is the Minneapolis Public Schools, and I would not give a penny to Children's Minnesota Hospital. Next item. The Minneapolis Public Library is putting on a queer youth prom. Now, when's the last time you heard of a library putting on a prom for teenagers? Never, me neither, unless there's an agenda to push. If you walk into the Minneapolis Public Library by my house, you can see sometimes big gay lesbian display in the teen section. Right now they've got two large transgender displays in the library. And I'm not making this up, they are making menopause products available in the men's room at the Minneapolis Public Library. So that if a woman thinks she's a man and uses the men's room, she can still get tampons. Now, I complained to the Minneapolis Public Library, to the lady librarian, and to the man who is her boss. Got nowhere, but Christians, we still need to complain. And one of the most liberal newspapers in the country is the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Big front page article, rather glowing, about how Minnesota is now a trans safe state, so you can come here to get your children to get mutilated, and people are going to be coming from all over. You know, Star Tribune, they don't give both sides. They have an agenda. Gone are the days of unbiased journalism. Next culture wars item, Disneyland. Disneyland will be hosting LGBT Pride Nights. Mickey Mouse will be in a gay pride parade. And this is being put on by Disney itself. I mean, when I was 14, Mom and Dad took us to Disneyland. I loved it. Three of the most fun days of my life. I never would have dreamt that Mickey Mouse would be in a gay pride parade. I think Walt Disney is spinning like a lathe. Another culture wars item. USA Today newspaper, very liberal newspaper, has named a biological male Minnesota's Woman of the Year. This is Lee Finke. He is a Minnesota state representative. This is the transgender person that got through the safe, trans safe state through our legislature. Well, USA Today named him, not her, Man of the Year in Minnesota. Now, it is tragic when the culture is doing this. It is super tragic when the church is doing this. And now we're going to move into the heresy update. News of the weird and unbiblical in Christian denominations. We're going to talk today about the ELCA Lutherans, the United Methodists, the Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA, and the Catholics. Now, I'm a Lutheran. Let's start with the Lutherans. I used to be an ELCA Lutheran. They became so radical, I finally led my church out of that into a more biblical Lutheran body. But the head bishop of the ELCA Lutheran Church, her name is Elizabeth Eaton. She yearly now does a gay pride video for Pride Month. She recently took a stand in favor of transgender rights, and she doesn't talk about our transgender brothers and sisters. That's too binary. She talks about our transgender siblings. The new vice president of the ELCA Lutheran Church is Imram Siddiqui. Recently, he condemned anti-trans laws as unchristian. In other words, if you don't think a biological boy should be in your girl's locker room, you're being unchristian. Listen to the words. My favorite verse in the Bible is Galatians 3:28. Quote, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. These anti-trans bills, keeping boys out of the girls' room, violate not only the letter but also the spirit of St. Paul's teaching. Did you catch that? He's trying to quote the Apostle Paul in favor of transgenderism. He goes on, "And to all my trans family in Christ, know that you are deeply loved by God, not in spite of who you are, but because of the entirety of who you are. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord." And then someone asks him, "Where should we give money to fight anti-trans bills?" And he recommended the ACLU and a gay activist group. This is the church. Now, what would Jesus say about all this? He would say Matthew 19. "Do you not know that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female?" That's called binary. He didn't add and transgender and bisexual. And no. And even Richard Dawkins, the atheist scientist, said this: "There are only two sexes, and that's all there is to it." He called the LGBT push to make various genders, he says it is, quote, utter nonsense. And the ELCA Lutheran Church, in its health care plan, funded by your offering dollars, pays for sex change operations for adults and hormone blockers for children and abortion. Your offering dollars at work. Next item. The official magazine of the ELCA Lutheran Church is called Living Lutheran. In its most recent issue, a transgender person wrote that God wanted him to become a woman. So he, a biological male, becomes a woman and gets divorced from his wife and marries Katie and says, "Today my life with Katie feels like I'm in heaven already." Now, we don't know from the article, is Katie a man, a woman, a trans man? We just don't know. The same edition, Living Lutheran magazine named a biological man in their Women's History Month. Now, there's good news in all this. Living Lutheran magazine and the ELCA are dying, shrinking. Living Lutheran magazine just announced they can't do the print form anymore because of their finances. It'll only be online. Next item from Living Lutheran magazine. Quote, "A queer black veteran," end quote, claimed that she heard the still small voice of God to become a minister at a gay pride event. She had been taught growing up that homosexuality is wrong, but, quote, "marrying my wife, a lifelong Lutheran, led me to the ELCA." The ELCA pastor who married them helped her in the process of becoming liberated, free to live a life of authenticity and right relationship with Christ. Did you catch that? Her pastor helping her embrace her lesbianism, that's what led her to a right relationship with Christ. Next heresy item, and this one is especially grievous to me because I went to this Lutheran Bible camp when I was 17. Here's the item. Outlaw Lutheran Ranch in South Dakota will host LGBT Pride Camp for 14 through 18-year-olds. They have revamped gendered bathrooms and cabins, and they are going to use the youth's preferred pronouns. And they are going to help the youth be their authentic selves as they host their first gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender queer camp for youth. Quote, "We know that our traditional format of gendered cabins and bathrooms doesn't provide the space that some of our campers need to feel safe. Also, because some youth have been wounded by the church, Bible study will be optional." I mean, when I was 17, I went to that camp, wonderful Christian fellowship. I never would have dreamt that Outlaw Lutheran Camp would be putting on a LGBT pride camp for 14-year-olds? Next heresy, and this is also another sad one for me personally, because I graduated from Luther Seminary in St. Paul and ELCA Seminary. They've just hired their first queer theologian. And the ELCA Lutheran Seminary in Pennsylvania, the president of the seminary is a man married to a man. He is also the ELCA's first practicing homosexual bishop. Now, what would Martin Luther say about all this? Martin Luther called homosexuality, quote, "a monstrous depravity and a terrible pollution." Now, if you've watched our show a lot, I periodically share that my struggle in life has been this same-sex attraction thing. But I don't go there because 1 Corinthians 6 says homosexuals won't go to heaven. So that's kind of big for me, so I abstain. But if you're a homosexual in the ELCA, they won't tell you to abstain. They'll make you a bishop. Let's talk about the authority of the Bible. Lutherans believe in sola scriptura. That's Latin for the Bible alone. For a Lutheran, the Bible alone is our highest authority. Well, not in the ELCA. The Minneapolis bishop of the ELCA, she was in my graduating class at Luther Seminary, recently wrote that Jesus and the Bible can contradict each other. Quote, "We Lutherans believe that the Bible truly matters, but it doesn't matter as much as Jesus. To quote Marcus Borg, when the Bible and what we see in Jesus conflict, as they sometimes do, Jesus trumps the Bible." Wait a minute. If you believe in the Trinity, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and if you believe the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, then Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Bible are not going to contradict each other. All right, let's move on now to, we're leaving Lutheranism for the United Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church right now is splitting because the leaders and the liberals of United Methodism in America want to ordain practicing homosexuals and do gay weddings. The conservatives don't want that, so the church is splitting. The Methodist bishop in Minnesota now put together a task force. One of the questions is, what do we do with United Methodist pastors who can't in full conscience do a gay wedding? Here's the response. In those places where pastors will not perform a same-sex wedding, they will, out of pastoral concern for the couple involved, seek out a pastor who will perform the ceremony and the setting in which their wedding can be celebrated. In other words, pastor, if you can't do a gay wedding, you better find someone who will, out of pastoral concern. No, out of pastoral concern, you won't find them someone to do the wedding. I mean, I drove by a United Methodist church recently. Big gay pride rainbow banner on the side of the church. They had six doors set up in front of the church in different rainbow colors to say you're welcome here. On the sign, it had the gay lesbian emblem. I mean, this church just shouted, "We are more pro-gay than thou." All right, let's move to the Presbyterians. The Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA, is the very liberal branch of Presbyterianism. There is a large, historic Presbyterian church downtown Minneapolis. They now put their services on TV. That's why I see them. And the pastors there have decided to no longer refer to God as He. Hymns are revamped, so they are praising God the Parent rather than God the Father. The senior pastor is doing a sermon series now on the Our Father. And one mother of the church said to him, "Oh, pastor, after your first sermon on Our Father, my little girl now is praying to our Mother and Father in heaven." All right, now he's on to number two, "Thy kingdom come." And the pastor says, "Kingdom is a problematic word because it's male." And he mused, "Should we pray our queendom come?" I'm not making this up. And then the pastor said, "You know, it's harder for older people to make these necessary changes." Listen, may you never change the Lord's Prayer. The pastor talked about our God language is evolving. No, it isn't. And this pastor is not smarter than Jesus Christ. You don't improve upon the Lord's Prayer, pastor. That's just arrogant. And it's not happening just in the PCUSA Presbyterians. ELCA Lutherans, United Methodists, the Episcopal Church, United Church of Christ, doing the same thing. Lastly, let's talk about the Catholics. When Pope Francis became Pope, shortly thereafter he said to atheists, "Just do good, and I'll see you there in heaven." More recently, you can Google Pope Francis, little boy, father atheist, and you'll get a video clip of a little boy who gets to the microphone to ask the Pope a question. "Well, Pope Francis, my father was an atheist. He got us kids baptized, but he didn't believe in God and he died. Will I see my Father in heaven? And basically the Pope's response was, your father was a good man. You'll see him in heaven. In other words, you're saved by being good. Nobody is good. Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. The Apostle Paul said, all have gone astray. We're sinners. You can't get to heaven by being good. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace you're saved, not by good works, lest anyone man should boast. So that is the heresy and culture wars update. Now, let me close with this. I was talking to a 92-year-old ELCA Lutheran lady recently, sweet older lady, and she was bemoaning the fact that, Pastor, my Lutheran church now is closing because the young people don't come anymore. And I thought, well, they can't come anymore if the ELCA and its healthcare plan is killing them in the womb with offering dollars. And if a denomination is willing to tell a little boy that he may be a little girl, that church doesn't deserve to survive. And the ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, the Reformed Church in America, the Disciples of Christ, these churches that have gone like this, they're all shrinking and dying, and they should. I want to close with this. 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote a hymn that we need to sing today. It goes like this. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrestle the kingdom from thy son and bring to naught all he hath done. Lord Jesus Christ, thy power make known, for thou art Lord of lords alone. Defend thy Christendom that we may sing thy praise eternally. Pray, when you say your prayers today, pray that the church will return to the Bible. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, When did these denominations start going astray?
Well, I'll date myself here, Mona. I graduated from Luther Seminary in 1979. Already it had become pretty liberal, with some professors denying the virgin birth of Christ and other things. I remember, when you're a senior, you get to preach a sermon in chapel, and I think I remember getting things that, you know, let's be careful about using male God language, even back then. But since then, it's gone bonkers. They've had transgender preachers at Luther, and they just hired a queer professor, like I said in the program. So things have gone bonkers. But it started even before the 70s, this heresy started creeping in.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is a Methodist?
Yeah, we talked about the United Methodists. John Wesley got on horseback, rode all over England, preaching the gospel in the 1700s. And from that came the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. They're kind of known for being big on free will, for instance. But that's the Methodist Church, yeah.
Okay. What is a Presbyterian?
All right, so then you've got the Presbyterians, as opposed to the Methodists, do not stress free will. They stress predestination. And like, I'm a Lutheran, and Luther came in the 1500s. Later in the 1500s, John Calvin came preaching predestination and other things. And that is the root of the Presbyterian Church, is John Calvin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do these churches still believe in the Trinity?
Well, yeah, if you can get them to say the words Father, Son, Holy Spirit from some of the pastors and some of the bishops. But yeah, technically they still believe in the Trinity, but I don't like it when they talk about Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, because they don't like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But technically they do. However, the United Church of Christ, which used to be a Christian denomination, it's the most left-wing of all the churches. You can deny the Trinity and be a pastor now in the United Church of Christ. I mean, you can be a Unitarian and be a pastor now in the United Church of Christ. That's tragic.
How sad is that?
Yeah.
Are there still good Methodist and Presbyterian churches?
Well, that's like saying, are there good Lutheran churches and Episcopal churches? There are, but you have to be careful. Like right now, the United Methodists are splitting on homosexuality. I have a friend whose mom goes to a Methodist church in Iowa. So my friend talked to the pastor. Well, now are you going to go with the conservatives? You're going to stay with the liberals? We're going to stay with the liberals. And this is a conservative pastor. Mm-hmm. And he said, why, basically? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, because we wouldn't get the majority. We need to get them out. And I would say to that pastor, try anyway, mm-hmm. or at least stay there and educate. But you just got to be super careful now when you go to a mainline Protestant denomination. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. What should I do now that my son has told me he is gay?
Well, you don't yell or scream. You pray for him. You love him mm-hmm. into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You can send them to our website, pastorstudy.org. At our website, I've got my story of my personal struggle with same-sex attraction. We've done whole TV shows. They can look through the list of the TV shows we've done on this. Mm-hmm. Better yet, Google the words Restored Hope Network, and there are support groups all around America for Christians who have this struggle, and they support each other, get in a little support group. If your son is open to getting help, you know, if he's not open to getting help, you got to just pray. Mm-hmm. But if he's open to getting help, Restored Hope Network. Okay. Or if you're Catholic, you go to a group called Courage, which does the same thing.
Okay. How do we respond to someone who says he was born in the wrong body?
Yeah, this whole transgender movement has become huge, mm-hmm. which I think shows the decline of our culture. And if a male says to me, yeah, but I know I'm a female, mm-hmm. I would say, you're wrong. If you have male chromosomes and have male genitalia, you're a man. Yeah, but I don't feel like a man. Our feelings can lie to us.
Yes.
So God did not miscreate you. If you're a female with female hormones, female genitalia, you're a woman. Oh, yeah, but I feel like a man. Yeah, but you're a woman. That's what I would say.
Okay. I think we got time for one more.
Okay.
If the liberal churches are shrinking, does that mean the conservative churches are growing? Or are people just not attending church anymore?
Well, the liberal churches are shrinking, I think, because they're denying Scripture. You know, when you go to church, you want your pastor to believe the Bible. Come on.
Exactly.
But I think both are going. The conservative churches aren't shrinking like the liberal churches are. In fact, they tend to grow often. But sadly, the other element, our whole culture is stopping going to church. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about before, when I drive to church on Sunday morning, I pass this big soccer field mm-hmm. full of kids. Mm-hmm. And years ago, things shut down on Sunday. And now people, well, it's not a big deal to them.
It was a family day.
Yeah.
Things were closed.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time. Thanks for joining us today. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.